Ladies and gentlemen, children of all ages, gather round the radio. It's time for another installment of A Touch of Grey, a talk show for grown-ups. My name is Michael Harrison. It's my privilege to serve as anchor of the program. It's an ensemble show with lots of good people involved, including its host and founder and guiding light, the great Carol Marx. Carol Marx is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues, and she's a dedicated champion in the battle against ageism. We're going to kick off today's program with a two-part interview with Robert Mattson, conducted by Ms. Marx. Robert Mattson is the author of six books, including the award-winning Errol and Olivia, Ego and Obsession in Golden Era Hollywood. He's going to talk to Carol now about his latest book titled Fireball, Carol Lombard and the Mystery of Flight 3, published by Paladin Communications. In this part of the interview, she's going to be talking to Robert Mattson about what a wonderful person Carol Lombard was and how she helped the legendary Lucille Ball.
Now, first, let me tell you why I've always been drawn to Carol Lombard. It's because my mother told me she named me, Carol with an E, after her, because she thought she had a great sense of humor, and my mother admired the fact that she had the guts to be herself. So that's why I have always loved her. And Robert, personally, was there something that you found about her that was particularly appealing?
Well, that's it. You know, she was herself. She was an old soul. That's what the research really led me to conclude. A very vibrant person, a very warm person, and a very generous person. She was known around Hollywood as benefactor of so many people. You know, she helped so many people's careers. She helped the down and out. Lucille Ball always said she owed her career to Carol Lombard because of key advice that Carol gave her and key roles that Carol helped to set her up with. So, you know, that was a very interesting thing to me about Lombard, was how original she was and how unique she was. Also the highest paid actress of her day, just because she was so savvy about the business of filmmaking and set herself up for success.
Now your book, Fireball, Carol Lombard, The Mystery of Flight 3, is going to be coming out January 16, 2014, on the 72nd anniversary of the plane crash that killed her and 20 other passengers on the plane. And you said that you got the idea for this book when you learned that a lot of the wreckage of the plane still lay strewn across the side of Mount, and I don't know if I'll pronounce it right, Potosi, that the plane crashed into, and it was located to the west of Las Vegas. So what made you decide to climb to the wreckage? How difficult was the climb, and how did it affect you emotionally so that eventually it led to you writing the book?
Well, it is an Indian word, Potosi, and it is about the roughest mountain in the western United States. There are no roads up there. It is complete wilderness. When I climbed it, there weren't even any animals up there because they're smart enough not to go up. It was an 11-hour ordeal to go up and come back down. And the thing that I wanted to do, that I knew I had to do to give the book credibility, if it's a book about a plane crash, you have to go there. And I wanted to go over the route that the first responders took when they sort of made their own way how to get there, because it is total wilderness. No roads, no trails, no nothing. And you really take your life in your hands when you go that way. There are other ways to get there. You can get there by a cell tower access road, which is illegal, but people do it anyway, and then they sort of, you know, skitter down some hills to get in there, and it's a quarter of a mile, and it's easy, but this way was very hard. And after all the climbing and bleeding and all the things that go with getting up there, just to be at the site of where 22 people died is just, it's difficult emotionally. And I realized then that not only was there a story to tell about Carol Lombard, but I started to really connect with these people that died there and who were they. And what I found was that they were very interesting people. They were young people. There were only two 40-year-olds on this plane. Everybody else was younger. They were mostly in their 20s. There was even a teenager on the plane who was a private in the Army, and he was only 19. And so the guide that took me up there that day brought over a bone that he found that was obviously from one of the crash victims. And I held that, and it just, it was so powerful, and it set me on the course of writing not only Carol Lombard's story, but all the rest of those people and what legacy they, you know, left behind, what they didn't get to experience because they all died so young.
You know, it was very moving. And by the way, I want to talk just for a moment about the term fireball in the title of your book, because didn't it come from the fact that the fireball from this intense impact of the plane into a mountain boulder, it could be seen for 40 miles. My goodness, I mean, wow.
Yeah, it was a funeral beacon, and everyone in Las Vegas seemingly saw it, you know, and people wanted to get up there and try to help anyone who might have survived. You know, what happened if the plane broke apart and people managed to get out and then it caught fire? So yeah, it set off great tumult all around the Las Vegas area as people tried to get up in the dark and help. You know, that was the first impulse of all of these people around the Las Vegas area, and these were very tough people. They just wanted to get up that mountain and help whoever might have survived.
And one of the things that I learned about Carol Lombard, whom I grew to love through my mother, but she didn't know, and that was the fact, you know, the tenacity that she had, because her career was almost over before it started, because she was in a car accident and had a scar on her face, and one of the studios let her go.
Yeah, she had a number of scars on her face because a windshield exploded into her face. It was that kind of a freak car crash. And she was laid up for 6 months recovering from it. Her mother was smart enough to call in a plastic surgeon when plastic surgeons were novelty items. I mean, there weren't many plastic surgeons in 1925. But she managed to find one, and this guy used micro stitches, and he sewed her up, and then he immobilized her on the bed so that her face would heal in the proper position, and he came every day and rubbed oil, you know, olive oil into her scars and managed to get her back on the screen. And it took a while for her to make a career comeback, but she was tough and she was smart and she did it. She overcame this catastrophic accident.
Another reason I'm glad I'm named after her. And besides the families of the soldiers and the other passengers on the plane, the other person in the story who was so affected by her death was her husband, Clark Gable. How did their romantic attachment actually start? Because she'd known him for a while.
Yeah, they made a picture together in 1932, and nothing seems to have happened at that time. She was married to William Powell, and he was married to a socialite at that time. But they met up again in the beginning of 1936 at a party, and the sparks really flew. Lombard was at Liberty at that time. She wasn't seeing anyone special. And Gable was estranged from his wife at the time. And so they really hit it off and became an inseparable couple for the next several years. They finally got married in 1939 while he was making Gone with the Wind. And they couldn't have been more different people. You know, she was this warm, giving person that I've talked about. And he was a typical sort of self-involved, self-centered, egotistical leading man. Now, nobody had big, bad things to say about him. He was a charming guy. He could charm your socks off. But he was kind of shallow, and he was kind of self-centered, and he didn't communicate well, and these things drove Lombard crazy. But still, they had a very romantic, passionate relationship. They got along very well, and when they didn't, they fought like wildcats.
That's Robert Mattson in conversation with Carol Marx, talking about his book, Fireball, Carol Lombard and the Mystery of Flight 3, published by Paladin Communications. We'll have more conversation between Carol Marx and Robert Mattson coming up in just a moment when A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, continues.
Did you know? An estimated 16 million Americans suffer from a chronic inflammatory facial condition called rosacea, and most of them don't know it. Often mistaken for acne, there are many signs and symptoms of rosacea besides facial redness, pimples, and visible blood vessels. Other symptoms may include burning, stinging, swelling, and even enlargement of the nose. Rosacea can also affect the eyes, causing a bloodshot appearance and irritation that could lead to vision loss. Any one of these signs and symptoms can mean rosacea, and without medical help, it can become increasingly severe and wreak havoc on your personal and professional life. Rosacea typically appears any time after age 30. So if you experience any sign of rosacea, see a dermatologist for diagnosis and treatment. Or for more information, visit the National Rosacea Society at rosacea.org.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to godirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Hello?
Louise, it's Ralph. Listen, would you go out with me tomorrow?
At 8? Ralph, I'd love to.
I have an appointment with my orthopedic surgeon, and I really want you to come along.
A doctor's office? That's so special. Oh, I just remembered I have to delete some emails.
Come on, Louise. We're going to talk about the pain in my hip, and I could use a little support.
I guess I'm not very hip.
You could take notes and help me remember stuff. Look, I have all my doctor questions written down, but there's so much to remember. I need you there with me so I don't miss anything.
Couldn't we just play miniature golf?
Louise, I'm not asking for a kidney.
Bringing someone to your appointment is a good way to make sure you and your physician are on the same page. The idea is to partner with your doctor and share information so you can make informed decisions together. For more on patient-doctor communications, visit orthoinfo.org, a message from the American Academy of Orthopedic Surgeons, where patient-centered care means getting better together.
A domain name is your key to doing business around the world, right from your office, living room, or even your couch. And finding the right name is as easy as a domain name search at hostingforcheap.com. Just enter the domain you want in the search box and we'll give you the results, along with similar domains you may not have considered. Most people looking for goods or services start on the web. Unfortunately, many small businesses can't afford to pay someone else to build their website. That's where hostingforcheap.com comes in. We can show you how to create a website for yourself. Because hostingforcheap.com isn't just about domain names, it's a one-stop shop for anything you need to get online. From building your own website to attracting new customers to securing their data when they make a purchase, hostingforcheap.com has you covered from the moment you decide you want to put your business on the web. That's hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com. Hostingforcheap.com.
Oh, by gosh, by golly, it's time for mistletoe and holly.
Continuing now with A Touch of Grey, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and let's get back to that conversation. Fascinating discussion, very interesting, between Carol Marx, the host of our program, and Robert Mattson, a very celebrated author. We're talking about the book Fireball, Carol Lombard and the Mystery of Flight 3, published by Paladin Communications. In this part of the conversation, he's going to talk about why Carol Lombard insisted that they fly home.
Getting back to the heart of the story, which is about the crash of TWA's Flight 3, it had, besides the other people on the plane, the ones that were related to Carol Lombard or to her story were her mother and Clark Abel's publicist. And she'd been told that she was going on this war bond tour during World War II and selling stamps, that she was under no circumstances to take a plane, but she was to take a train. And she took a train out. So why was she, and nobody in her entourage wanted to fly back, why did she decide she had to fly?
Well, Clark Gable's publicist on the plane, Otto Winkler, he especially didn't want to fly home because he had a premonition that he was going to die if he flew home. If he took a plane on this bond tour, he he told his wife, I'm going to die. And so he was facing that. But even at that, Carol Lombard wanted to come home so badly that in the fastest way possible that she even overruled Otto Winkler, this guy who had the premonition. Her own mother didn't want to fly. Her mother had spent her lifetime avoiding planes because she was terrified of flying. But still, Carol insisted that they fly home because her husband was having an affair with Lana Turner at the time. And they had had a terrible flight before Carol left. She went to Chicago and then to Indianapolis to sell war bonds. She told Clark, stay away from Lana, stay away from her. She knew she was trouble. And she felt especially threatened by Lana, and this is a person who was not very often threatened at all. I mean, she was very self-confident, very comfortable in her own skin, but the idea of Clark Gable having an affair with young Lana Turner was too much for Carol to take, and so she was in a big hurry to get back home from Indianapolis to Encino, California.
Now, Robert, as we all know, the what-ifs in life are something we all speculate about. So tell us about the what-ifs. If Carol Lombard hadn't lost a coin to us or had given up her block of seats on the plane to military personnel who wanted to go to California, the what-ifs would have made a whole different story.
Yeah, and one of my favorite paragraphs in the book is just listing those what-ifs. Any number of things could have happened differently. If she had just made one decision differently, she would have lived. You know, if she had taken the train like she was supposed to, she would have lived. If she had lost the coin toss, the best she would do with Otto Winkler, who did not want to take the plane, was flip a coin. And if it came up one way, they would take the train. And if it came up the other way, they would fly. So she won the coin toss, which would ultimately kill her. In Albuquerque, there were Army Air Corps personnel who were given priority seat assignments to bump all the civilians off the plane so they could get back to Long Beach, California. She refused to give up her seat. And since she was Mrs. Clark Gable, she knew she would win the argument, and she did. And she got her party an exemption to stay on the plane and keep flying west. So if she had just said, oh, you know, yes, these pilots should go and I should stay here because that's the right thing to do, she would have lived. You know, there are so many things, and it just points up the fact, as my wife said just the other day, that when you read this story, it's such confirmation that when your number's up, your number's up. And even though these people were young and they had a great future in front of them, for some reason, they were meant to die on this plane.
Now, about the plane crash itself, there have been so many questions about it, such as why did the plane crash? I guess the sky was pretty clear at night, and it had a very experienced pilot flying it. And you've been researching the crash and looking at new documents about it. And have you concluded that, while the reason for the crash was never uncovered, that in your book, in a way, you solve a mystery? So can you explain what you meant when you said that?
You know, there are a number of possible reasons why that plane crashed, and one of them is sabotage, because there were 15 Army Air Corps personnel on that plane, and they were very important to the war effort, as this was 5 weeks after Pearl Harbor. There weren't many regular Army guys out there, you know, and these were highly skilled bomber crews. They would ferry brand new bombers to Europe, to Canada, to the East Coast, and then they would go back and get another load. So, I mean, these were guys that were going to rise through the ranks very quickly, and they were important people. So did sabotage bring down that plane? How could it have been pilot error when it was a clear night and the pilot that was operating Flight 3 was TWA's most experienced man? He was an old Army flyer. He was 41 years old. He had flown 1.4 million miles for TWA, so he knew his way around. How did he fly straight into a mountain on a clear night? You know, these are the things that I had to look at and sift through government documents and TWA confidential files and try to find the answers. And I do have, you know, what I think is a pretty credible theory as to what really brought down Flight 3.
And if they want to find out, they always have to read the book, which is so interesting. Now, always looking to find something positive that comes out of even a tragedy. When it comes to the untimely death of Carol Lombard, doesn't it seem that it did make her husband, Clark Gable, really a better person? He really did love her because he started doing very quietly the good deeds that his wife had always done, but he never had. And I thought that was quite something.
Yeah, it is something. And I'm glad that you that resonated with you, because to me it is the redeeming part of this whole tragedy, is that what came out of it were people whose lives had been changed by Carol Lombard, including Clark Gable, because he had always been shallow and self-involved. But after she died, her imprint really made him a giving person in a very quiet way. And as you say, he started to help people. He started to reach out. He could never be her, but some of her did live on for the rest of his life.
Robert Mattson, in conversation with Carol Marks. Great conversation at that. And the book is titled Fireball, Carol Lombard and the Mystery of Flight 3, published by Paladin Communications. Coming up next, we'll be joined by Kevin Casey of Talkers Magazine. I'm Michael Harrison, and you're listening to A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, which will continue right here in just a moment.
Rich or poor, or he loves you just the same. Santa knows that we're God's children. That makes everything right. Right! Fill your hearts with a Christmas cheer, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight, tonight. Santa Claus comes tonight, tonight.
Here comes Santa Claus. Here comes Santa Claus. Right down Santa Claus Lane. He'll come around when the chimes ring out. Then it's Christmas morn again.
Peace on earth will come to all if we just follow the light. Let's give thanks to the Lord above, 'cause Santa Claus comes tonight, tonight. Santa Claus is coming tonight. Stand by.
Happy days. Happy times. Listen to the bells and chimes.
Here comes Santa Claus.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security webpages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
This is a Driving Today Minute. Even though high gasoline prices have moderated somewhat, they're still quite high. It just makes good sense to do what you can do to reduce your fuel costs. The Alliance to Save Energy suggests a few easy things you can do.
Keep your car properly tuned up and change the air filter regularly, both to save gas and protect your engine. Curtail aggressive driving, according to the U.S. Department of Energy. Speeding, rapid acceleration, and hard braking waste gas and curb mileage by as much as 33% at highway speeds.
So nix the jackrabbit starts and opt instead for slow acceleration from a dead stop. Slow down. The DOE says each mile per hour you drive over 60 is like paying an extra 10 cents per gallon. Inflate tires to the proper pressure. This will increase fuel economy and make tires safer and extend their life.
This Driving Today Minute is brought to you by Bridgestone Firestone Tires. You can get more information like this at drivingtoday.com or by visiting our partners such as autobytel.com, motorsportsforum.com, and more.
You're listening to A Touch of Gray. check out our website at atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E. That's atouchofgray.com. We spell gray with an E.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Engine.
Check.
Thrusters.
Check.
Fuel.
Check.
Computers.
Check.
Social Security.
No check, go direct.
That's right, Patty. A few weeks ago, I went online to GoDirect.org to sign up for direct deposit. It's easy to do, and I got my cash at warp speed.
Wow, it's fast and easy. I'll sign up right now to make sure I'm prepared for our next mission.
Carol Marks is one of America's leading experts on upper demographic issues and a champion in the battle against ageism in our society. Her fabulous new book, Modern Aging, A Guide for Seasoned Citizens to Achieve Health, Happiness, and Purpose, published by Talkers Books, is a major breakthrough in providing a maturing population with vital information and inspiration to live better and more productive lives. Carol Marks offers practical strategies for juggling work, romance, and navigating the healthcare system. She is a guide through the maze of grandparenting, technology, travel, and retirement, as well as facing the sandwich generation's struggle of supporting adult children and elderly parents. Modern Aging by Carol Marks is available now at www.talkersbooks.com. That's www.talkersbooks.com.
If you plan to apply for Social Security disability benefits, there are things you can do to help speed up the usual 3 to 5 month wait for a decision. The more information you provide up front, the less time it'll take us to obtain the needed evidence, and the faster the decision can be made. Information like medical records or documentation, the names, addresses, and phone numbers of your doctors and medical facilities, information on your past employment, and more. To be prepared, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/disability and select Disability Starter Kits.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we come to that point in the program where we peek behind the curtain and look in the media. And we're joined by our senior correspondent, Kevin Casey, who his day job is vice president and executive editor of the trade magazine Talkers, which is the trade publication that serves the talk radio industry. Kevin, welcome aboard.
Thank you.
And here we are on the verge of Christmas. I do want to talk a bit about business. The number one topic continues to be criticism of Obamacare.
Yeah.
And I'm often asked by people, how long can a topic remain hot on talk radio before, and this is purely from a broadcasting perspective.
Right.
From a broadcasting perspective, how long can a topic stay hot on talk radio before it gets what we used to call in music radio burnout? Like Blurred Line song by Robin Thicke.
Right.
Was the number one, you know, pop song of the year. And now when you hear it occasionally, it's like, oh, can I stand it another time?
Yeah.
And, for people listening to this, topics are often dealt with in talk radio the way hit records are dealt with in music radio. So what is the status of Obamacare, even though it still is the most talked about topic?
Well, that's a great question, and it's the old $64,000 question. And that's what program directors, good ones, are supposed to be able to determine, is that when a topic is starting to burn, as they say. You know, on one hand, the bread and butter of largely conservative news talk radio is that it stands against the policies of a liberal or progressive president. And it's almost it's almost a definition of what it is and does these days anyway. You know, on the other hand, you can argue that, you know, passing a national health care law of this magnitude is something that Democrats have been trying to do for decades. And the fact that this president accomplished it, and it has going to have profound effects on everyone in this country, people who are in the talk radio business can say, wait a minute, this is a historical piece of legislation. Its effects are profound, and it deserves to be talked about. And we feel that everyone is aware of how much it affects their lives. And therefore, it's relevant.
Yeah, and it forces broadcasters to walk the line between public service and their own personal business corporate service.
Sure. Yeah.
And that is you know, a very valid concern.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad there is the concern. You know, to me, if it was just a matter of let's talk about what people want to hear, and not have any kind of concern about what they should hear, what they need to hear, what we believe in. Then there's almost a superficiality and a sensationalism to the whole process, and it'll eventually fall under its own weight because it's not authentic.
Well, true, and I think, you know, there's a certain camp sometimes in the radio industry that calls out for a different type of talk radio, saying, hey, you know, talk pop culture stuff. You know, people don't talk politics when they get together. They talk about stuff like, you know, a TV or whatever, and yes, to a certain degree they do, but I think that if we ever lose sight of, in news talk radio, lose sight of talking about what government does and its implication on its citizenry, then I think that it's failing on a public service level,
mm-hmm.
because that's really what the format is so good at.
I think that an area where this is really falling apart is in journalism in general, and certainly talk radio is not necessarily journalism, it's kind of journalistic.
Mm.
But when you look in areas of true journalism, I mean, take, for example, CNN. What I understand in terms of reading the trades and understanding what's going on in the industry, they're moving away from any kind of news. They want to be newsy.
In the next year, you're going to see more shows and less news on CNN.
Yeah, and, you know, come on, let's face it, without, you know, trying to bash anybody, some of those morning news programs have rock concerts on them. I mean, you know, whether it's...
Sure, and those are very popular. You know, look, I think the interesting thing is that the highest rated show on CNN is its weekend show about food in exotic places.
Right.
So, what, you know, can you blame the executives who are told to give viewers and so they can sell ads?
I blame them only from the standpoint that they're not servicing a public need, one. But even more so, I think there is, no matter what you do, the pie is going to be sliced into small fractions, four different factions. That there's no such thing as a mass appeal anymore. So why not just somebody out there provide real, pure, journalistic news 24 hours a day, 7 days a week? You know, just be serious for those people that want intelligence and serious news, and you probably get the same sized audience that you'll get, you know, being goofy.
Well, I guess the answer is because it's been done, and they know how well it gets rated, and they know that the ratings are low, especially against other networks in prime time.
Yeah, it's a shame that professional wrestling has to compete on the same dial as news. You know, and that cooking shows are competing for the same ad dollars as journalism.
Yeah.
Be that as it may, we've run out of time, and we're going to have a word from our sponsor. No. Kevin Casey from Talkers Magazine, thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Michael.
And if you want information about radio and talk radio, go to talkers.com. It's there for you all the time. I'm Michael Harrison. Quick break. A Touch of Gray. The talk show for grown-ups continues in a moment.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
www.socialsecurity.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Continuing now with A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups. I'm Michael Harrison in the anchor chair, and we're joined the rest of the way by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Here he is now in conversation with Cindy Klein. She's a keynote speaker and author of Always Hope, and is going to talk about how to deal with grief and loss during the holiday season.
You know, what are the kinds of emotional stress that people do undergo during the holidays?
Well, first of all, I want to share with you, I've had 4 suicides in my family, so I know very well what we go through during the holidays with grief and loss. And a lot of it can be our loved one's not with us anymore, of course. That's huge. So we need to acknowledge that the holidays will be different without our loved one this year. And think about changing up our traditions. Think about changing up. If you normally host the holidays at your home, you may want to ask someone else to host it this year. It's very important to acknowledge your feelings and to let others know how you're feeling.
You know, there was a study I saw that said we have very little control over what goes on in our life. And interestingly enough, it said only the clinically depressed really understand that. But what we do control is how do we respond. So what do people need to do in their lives to make life work?
Well, that's a huge question, and it's a very good one. I think especially for those that are grieving, it's important to know it is okay to grieve. It's okay to feel that loss. It's okay to have our sadness. And it's okay to feel joy. Oftentimes, if we start to feel joy in our grieving process, the guilt comes in, and it's okay. We need to give ourselves permission to have some fun, to make that opening for fun and joy in our lives. It is truly okay. And we do have control over being open to some joy and some other ways of creating our holiday experience.
What's the role of hope?
Without hope, I've lost 4 family members to suicide. So for me in my life, hope is life. If you lose all hope, then you've lost your desire to want to live. So hope to me is everything. That what we're going through with our depression or our grief or our loss is temporary. And it will change and it will get better and we will go on to have joy and happiness in our life again. I think hope is paramount in being able to navigate through life. You must have hope. Hope's everything.
Now, I noticed that was even in the title of your book, Always Hope. So tell us a little bit more about the book.
The book is really came out of my sister Marion's suicide. I was losing my own hope and was in such a place of despair and grief that I needed to find a way to deal with my grief. So the book was born out of that, and it's 25 stories of people overcoming very difficult circumstances. From illness to health, there are 25 short stories. From the brinks of suicide to having a desire to want to live again. From rags to riches, if you will. It's 25 very unique stories. Helping people see that, yes, you can get through your difficult time, and not only can you get through it, you can find a way to thrive on the other side of the difficulties that people may find themselves in during this time.
Now, your sister was a very beautiful actress, and she had a connection in her life that was kind of interesting that you write about with the great science fiction writer Ray Bradbury. What was that?
She worked with Ray Bradbury in Los Angeles, and they became very dear friends. And he helped her through a lot of her depression. He would call her. They just became best friends. She became best friends with Ray and his family. And what a gift and a joy that was for her. Every time she spoke to him post-accident, she was just filled with happiness. So that's another thing, too. Reach out and surround yourself with people that bring you joy during this holiday season.
Boy, is that's so right on. And, you know, one of the things you've talked about, and it's really, you consider life's challenges growth opportunities. And tell us about how that works.
Well, anytime we're going through a challenge, we have to dig deeper within ourselves. And we really do have within us, unless we're clinically depressed, we have within us the strength and the ability to walk through and navigate life's challenges. It is there, and we have that ability. So the way we grow through those hard times is to go deep within and pull on those reserves. We're stronger than we can imagine. I couldn't have gone through 4 suicides without going within and finding out that I'm stronger than I ever dreamt I could be. We are. Each person has more strength in them than they are possibly aware of. So part of that growth opportunity is going within. And also for me, it's led to compassion and understanding for other people and their struggles and what they're going through. It certainly has made me a more compassionate person.
Do you have any specific kinds of mental exercises that you do to try and, you know, lift yourself or refocus yourself?
That's a great question. Even when I'm in the depths of depression, I wake up every morning, and the fact that I'm alive and here on this earth, I say good morning. Whatever your good morning to God, Creator, Spirit, the Divine, whatever you want to call your higher being. But we don't breathe life into ourselves. Life is breathed into us. And so I do acknowledge that every morning, even when I'm depressed and not in my best, I wake up and say, thank you for the gift of another day. Thank you for the opportunity to heal and learn and grow and move through this experience I'm having. If I'm in a sad place, I acknowledge I'm not going to be in this spot forever. This challenge is temporary and will pass. But I acknowledge that I'm there, and I also acknowledge it will pass, and that I'm thankful to be here to experience it and to grow and to learn. What can I learn from this situation?
Those are just great, great words. Now, where can people get your book, Always Hope?
My book is available on my website at alwayshopebook.com. It's a coffee table book with pictures to accompany the short stories. And I have to say, Lisa Murray did the photography, and she has really captured the essence of each person featured in the book. It's been a joy to bring these stories forward. Truly, it has.
That's Cindy Klein in conversation with Steve Wiseman. And if you'd like more information about this sensitive topic, go to alwayshopebook.com. It's alwayshopebook.com. Steve Wiseman returns for our final segment of this hour. Coming up in just a moment, he's going to discuss a scam in New York City when A Touch of Grey continues.
We'll be right back. It's the most wonderful time of the year, with the kids jingle belling and everyone telling you be of good cheer. It's the most wonderful time of the year. It's the happiest season.
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
You want a piece of me?
They're not movie tough guys, just ordinary people doing something extraordinary. They're all signed up on MatchingDonors.com, willing to donate their kidney to anyone who needs it. In the U.S., 19 people die each day waiting for an organ transplant, most of them for kidneys. MatchingDonors.com improves those odds by finding living, altruistic donors for patients desperately needing transplants. Go to MatchingDonors.com and meet some extraordinary people. That's MatchingDonors.com.
Want to stay informed when there are changes to Social Security? Subscribe to receive automatic email updates on popular Social Security web pages with the click of a button. Just visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. More than 1 million people already receive updates to the pages they're most interested in. You can too. Look for the red envelope followed by a link that says Get Email Updates. To learn more, visit www.socialsecurity.gov/govdelivery. Social Security delivers.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy, you feel fine, but that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Since it doesn't always cause symptoms, you may not know you have it. The only way to know is by getting screened. Screening can find precancerous polyps, so they can be removed before they turn into cancer. This is one cancer you can prevent. Plus, screening can find colorectal cancer at an early stage when the chance for a full recovery is very high. Talk with your doctor and get tested for colorectal cancer. Medicare and many insurance plans help pay for screening. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
Hi, I'm Sigourney Weaver. If you're like me, your dog or cat is part of the family, and they rely on you to take care of them. Like a family doctor, your veterinarian and staff know what's best for that special family member. So visit your vet regularly for checkups, for prevention of disease like heartworm, and for the best advice on everyday issues like flea and tick control. Your veterinarian knows best, so take the time to ask questions. For healthy pets, visit the vet.
A message from the American Animal Hospital Association.
You're age 65 and you've made your decision to keep working and delay receiving your benefits. That's fine, but don't forget about Medicare. Most people should apply for Medicare coverage within 4 months of reaching age 65. And there's a fast, convenient, and simple way to apply for Medicare in as little as 10 minutes. Online at www.socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only. That's socialsecurity.gov/Medicare only.
Just hear those sleigh bells jingling, ring, ting, tingling.
Continuing now with the final segment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups, as we go into the final segment of this hour, and we're joined again by our senior correspondent, Steve Wiseman. Stephen J.J. Wiseman, Esquire. He's an attorney. He's a prolific writer, and he is definitely a champion in the battle against scams. He is the webmaster of Scamicide.com. He's written the book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. And here he is now to discuss a scam that resides in New York City. Steve?
Thank you, Michael. You know, they say that this is the most wonderful time of the year, but it's also scam season. And, you know, the scams that are foisted upon people at this time of the year, you know, sometimes seem even worse and more vile. And there's a piece that was just recently in the news about a scammer who's been posing as a police officer and preying on elderly women. This is in New York City. But this kind of thing goes on around the country, which is why I wanted to mention it. He's been doing this, apparently, for about 2 years and stealing the savings of these elderly women. What happens is he comes up to them and flashes a phony badge, says that he is a police officer, and he's investigating some bank irregularities and someone stealing through the bank. So he's at this point in New York, they figured he's already scammed about 23 elderly women between the ages of 77 and 98 over the last couple of years. He's stolen about $430,000 from them, including in one woman, an 84-year-old woman from Brooklyn, $102,000 just this year. A lot of these have taken place in Manhattan, three in Queens, two in Brooklyn, two in the Bronx. But again, this is something that goes on. People put them out as a police officer. He says he's investigating some irregularities at the bank, and here's where it comes. He said he needs them to take some money out to give to him to assist in the investigation. Okay, assist in the investigation, and then they turn their money over to him, and he's gone. So, you know, my message is, first of all, for many of us, as we're getting older, believe it or not, there really is a part of our brain that's been, I can't pronounce it, but it's been identified by a study at the University of Iowa that makes us a little bit more skeptical. And this part of our brain loses its efficacy as we're getting older. You have to remember my mantra, which is trust me, you can't trust anybody. And so, absolutely, when a police officer says he needs something, some money from you, that should be a tip-off. If they even are asking for personal information, that should be a tip-off. Always check these kinds of things out. You've got to be careful. The place to look for that helping hand is at the end of your own arm. So be careful out there. And also, this is something for us taking care of elderly parents and grandparents. Make sure that they are not falling prey to these kinds of scams, because they're easy to be out there. These guys can be very convincing. You just have to resist. Whenever you're asked for money or information, always check it out.
Thank you, Steve. Excellent job, and wish everybody happy holidays. Thank you very much, Steve. By the way, if you want more information about scams and fraud and the things that are lurking behind every shadow, you can go to scamaside.com, Steve Wiseman's website, or read his book, The Truth About Avoiding Scams, published by Prentice Hall. Thank you, Beverly Santinello, our producer on the front line. Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Kevin Casey. And thank you, of course, Carol Marks. Carol Marks is the founder and host of our program. On behalf of all of us, I'm Michael Harrison, inviting you to join us next weekend right here for another installment of A Touch of Gray, the talk show for grown-ups.